Well, we'll ask God to help us with the word then. Lord, we thank you for your presence among us. And it's our desire that your word, from what you are saying right now to these people and those who hear us otherwise, Lord, will be what you want said. We know we can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. And so we ask for that help, Lord, for us, for the children of being taught, for all of us, Lord. I pray the Holy Spirit will bring Jesus to us. And that no one will be left out, Lord. Help us, we pray. Thank you for the answer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I marvel. The Lord gave me, starting about Wednesday, which is unusual for me to get a message in advance, but he's been talking to me about holiness, and I noticed what Lisa said fits right in, and Judge Smitter. So I know this is what God has for us today. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18, and then 7:1. All right, here we go. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And notice that up at the top, it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And that's Hebrews 12, verse 14. Now, I want to talk, I've talked a great deal about righteousness. And by the way, my thing is not on here. That's probably a reason for that. I've talked a great deal about righteousness. But holiness and righteousness, while they interact, are different. And I'll give you an example of the difference. We're going to be dealing, I think, with this passage we just read, but I want to digress to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Now, what I'm talking about this morning is holiness. And it may be a little different than you have pictured it, possibly. But I have not stressed it very much. I stressed righteousness a great deal. But they're not the same thing. Holiness has to do with our relationship with God. Righteousness has to do with our relationship with people. The first and greatest commandment has to do with holiness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second of the greatest commandments has to do with righteousness. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first four of the Ten Commandments deal with holiness. The remaining six deal with righteousness. The first four of the Ten Commandments are as follows. You shall have no other God before me. That's holiness. The second of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image. That's holiness. The third of the Ten Commandments is to not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's holiness. The fourth of the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. That's holiness. The remaining six, beginning with the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother, have to do with righteousness. Now, in Numbers 6, we have the Nazirite vow. And you'll notice that starting with verse 3, this is a special vow of separation. He must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, must not drink vinegar made from wine or from other fermented drink. He must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. As long as he is a Nazirite, he must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skins. Now, you can see how this differed from Israel generally, because God's promise to them was that they would sit under their vine and their fig tree, that is, under their grapevine. And so this shows that there are degrees of holiness. All Israel was holy to the Lord, but the Nazirites were holier. And this has nothing to do with righteousness. Nothing to do with it. I'm trying to get that because I want to emphasize holiness today so you can see how important it is and what it is, in fact, because we may associate it with long dresses or not wearing lipstick or something else, which was strong in Pentecost. Holiness was taught in the last half of the 19th century by the Methodists, and it was very strong. It carried over into the early Pentecostal movement, and then there was a reaction against it. And ever since then, holiness has been not as solid in people's minds, because they think, are they talking about I can't go to the movies, or are they talking about I have to wear a long dress, or are they talking about I can't go to the doctor, what are they talking about? Because these things were important in early Pentecost, and it's in some people's mind. And when they said, we're not under holiness anymore, whoever that started teaching was, whoopee! And so the dresses got shorter, and the cosmetic company, when it was in business, and everybody felt free to go to the doctor, take aspirin and everything else. So there was a reaction against it. But now I think God, and particularly in this church, as we see that what Lisa was talking about was idols. And they have to do with holiness, not righteousness, holiness. And if you remember some months ago, I gave you a list of, 161 holiness behaviors that have to do with holiness, such as lying and hatred and a spiteful spirit and self-seeking. Now, we see from that holiness is kind of the mother of righteousness in a way, in that if you have a lying spirit, which is unclean in the sight of God, it may come out in lying to a person, which then becomes unrighteous. So they interact, but they are different, as we see in the Nazirite vow. All right, be patient with me, because I have a lot of stuff has come to me at night and everything else. All right, now let's see, Lord, what should I accent next? I think next we'll go to, I see I should have this on floppies. I want to go. Just be patient. We'll get there. I want to go to where God called Israel. Here we are, page 7, Brother Smitter, page 7. This is Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Now, that is talking about holiness. Righteous behavior is required of all people. And the world and all religions, I guess, understand that such things as faithfulness and honesty, generosity, kindness, mercy are valuable. Everyone understands that. I mean, you ask any American on the street, do you feel that to be faithful is a righteous act? You'd probably say yes. But when it comes to holiness, that is not understood by the world. Nor, for example, if you quote Romans 12:1, say, I beseech you, brothers, to present your body a living sacrifice to an unsaved person, they'll say, what in the world kind of a loser philosophy is that? See, he would understand faithfulness. He would understand kindness. He would understand generosity. But he would not understand presenting your body a living sacrifice. And this is where Christians get confused, because they say, well, if I want to go to an X-rated movie, what's wrong with that? I'm not hurting anybody. See, because it is not an act of unrighteousness to go to an X-rated movie. It's not an act of unrighteousness to watch pornography. It's not an act of unrighteousness to smoke cigarettes. See? All of these have to do with holiness. You begin to get a feel for it? And when you were called, you were not called to be a Christian. You were called to be a saint. And the word saint means holy one. Holiness is a calling. It's a calling. Now, notice in Israel, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Nothing to do with righteousness. Righteousness is covered in the Ten Commandments, Numbers 5 through 10, and also in statutes about slavery, for example. But holiness, you know, we say the Holy Bible. We don't say the Righteous Bible. See the difference? There's a difference there. We're called to be holy, and we don't even know what it is. It's something you feel like, it's not for me. Where till I get to be 50 years old? Someone would talk about holiness. But without holiness, you cannot see the Lord. Doesn't say that about righteousness. There are other penalties that go with righteousness. But you cannot, only the pure in heart can see God. And I think we're at that position in the church now. I feel, as Tony said, something's going here. There's a forward movement. And I and others want to be careful to keep us on the movement where God is. See, what is God saying to Mount Zion? What is he stressing? See, that's what we need to know. What is God stressing to us today? Not, man, you could preach anything out of the Bible, but what is God emphasizing? But now we go to 1 Peter 2:9, and we see what it says about Christians. This is still on sheet 7, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people. See, that's key to holiness. Now, I'm stressing that because you cannot compare yourself with the world. You cannot do that. You are not of the world, Jesus said. I have called you out of the world. And that's very hard for chosen people. And the Jews have had a bad time with that. They don't want to be. Many of them do not want to be a chosen people. They want to be like everybody else. The same is true of Christians. They don't want to be different. And so I would suggest this morning, as your friend and fellow laborer, that if you don't feel a call to holiness, that you pray for it. That you pray for it. Because in any true Christian, a true disciple, there must be such a love for Christ, such a desire for God in his heart, that he, whenever, you know, he comes and the preacher talks about, well, for example, among the young people is body piercing. And he talks about body piercing because that is harming the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the genuine Christian will say, oh, good, I'm glad, you know, that was made clear because that will help me to love God more. The person who is not yet introduced to Jesus Christ will say, there's another one. Now all we're going to hear is negative, negative. You can't do this and you can't do that. So when I talk about actual holiness and some of the things, you could check your heart. If it sounds like a bunch more rules that you have to keep, you haven't started as a disciple. You're still a very nice person, good looking, intelligent, full of vitamins, but you're not a disciple. A disciple is not trying to find out what he can do and still be a Christian. A disciple has such a desire to love Jesus that everything he hears that Jesus is teaching, that's good. Lord, help me to get there. So check your heart. Take inventory. Take stock. Because I'm not preaching to you a bunch of you shall not do this, you shall not do that. That's not Christianity. Christianity is being born again, being full of life of God and rejoicing in Christ. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's what Christianity is. It's not, oh God, now I can't go to the movies. Now I can't watch my pornography. Now I can't do this. Oh, what next? If you're like that, well, I'm tempted to say some things that I should not say, so I won't say them. All right. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people. Does that sound anything like Exodus? Like the word to Israel? Okay. A royal priesthood. That means a governing, a priesthood that governs. That you may declare a people belonging to God. See, that's the key. That's the key. Well, doesn't everybody in the world belong to God? Yes, in one sense. No, in another. There is such a thing as an elect. And the elect have been called to be closer to God than other people. And the closeness to God has to do with holiness. Because all people are required to live righteously. And those that do, Christian or not, God knows about them. That's what Peter told Cornelius. Every nation, God sees the people that live righteously. But holiness is when God comes down into your life and calls you to be part of Jesus Christ. And once that happens, you are not of this world. Now, that may be hard. As I say, if you long after the world, there's a lot of places where you can enjoy yourself. But that's not what God has called you to. And if God has called you to be a holy one, and you don't live a holy life, God is going to get after you. Where people in the world can do the same thing. You do it and you're going to get swatted. Because you're not like everybody else. Ta-da! All right. Now, God has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. I marvel that people cannot see the kingdom. Christian people can't see that. You talk to them, it's like you're talking another language. So that's a calling. Understanding the kingdom of God is a calling. And it's something to be treasured. It's not something that everybody has. And so if you have it, regard it as the most precious thing in life. It's more precious than a husband and wife. It's more precious than anything that your Creator has reached down and singled you out from 6 billion people to show his wonderful personality. And the closer you get to God, the more strict he is about holiness. And let me tell you something about holiness. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not a pain in the neck that when you are wishing you could do something else. If that's the case, your heart is not with Jesus. Your heart's in the world. If your heart's in the world, you are in the world. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So this could be, call it heart inventory today, and Lisa started off. All right, now if you want to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. That's also on sheet 7. And you also are among those who are called. That does not mean everybody in the Roman Empire. That means specific people. I know it's not democratic. I understand that. It's not fair. I understand that. I'm just telling you what is. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You're not called to belong to a church. You're not called to belong to a denomination. You're not called to belong to them. You're called to belong to Jesus Christ. You're his possession. And a very treasured possession, too, I may say. To all in Rome who are loved by God, not the whole empire, and called to be saints. You're called to be holy. Now, I think we're beginning to get the feel from it. And you look at Romans 6:22, which is one, a very favorite verse of mine because it explains 6:23, which is misapplied to the unsaved. Romans 6:22 and 23 are talking about Christian people, those baptized in water. If you read all of the chapter, Romans 6:22 and 23 says, you have become servants to God. Servants to God. And the fruit of service to God is it up there? What does it say? Well, I guess I only have the right one, huh? Romans 6:22. You have been set and become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result of holiness is eternal life. The more holiness you have, the more eternal life you will receive. Holiness and eternal life are inextricably bound together. They're linked together. Holiness and eternal life are linked together. Now let's go back to the first one we read, which was sheet number 1. And that was on Hebrews, Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It is 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 and 7 verse 1. Now, I think this is probably one of the finest of the passages having to do with holiness. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. We used to make a lot of that in Pentecost. Don't get into a business relationship with unbelievers. Don't get married to an unbeliever. Don't get bound in some kind of a contract with unbelievers. Well, you will live to regret it because you are part of the body of Christ. They're under the influence of Satan. How long do you think that corporation is going to last? Don't get bound in a contract. I know we have to work for unbelievers sometimes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about entering into some kind of contract with unbelievers. It may be very inviting. It may be very lucrative. But you're making a mistake. Sooner or later, it will fracture. Because God will demand one thing of you, and the devil will demand one thing, something else of the other guy, and he'll cheat you, and he'll lie, and he'll steal, and cut your throat. And you have no one but yourself to blame. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. And when you get married, don't marry an unbeliever, no matter how much he says or she says they're going to go to church after they marry you. Don't be so foolish. You marry someone at the same spiritual level as yourself or above. If you don't, then you can look back 10 years from now and say, oh, I wish I'd listened to Brother Thompson. I thought he was so old he didn't know anything. Don't get hooked up with someone of a lesser spiritual call than yourself. Because your household is split from the beginning. And if someone promises you, oh, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to go to church, that's as phony as can be. Because if they didn't go before they met you, why are they going to go afterward? They're giving you the business. Don't do it. Save yourself misery. Amen. Someone at the same or higher spiritual level than yourself. Benji's bored. He's going to sleep. All right. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? You can't go get together. What fellowship has light with darkness? You go getting involved with somebody that's under the heel of Satan, living in darkness, and you're going to they may be handsome, beautiful, wealthy, and drive a Mercedes. But they are trouble for you. Endless trouble. And you knew better because I taught you better. What harmony with Christ with Belial? Christ has no fellowship with devils, with idols. And he's saying, if you get involved with somebody like that's what you're doing, what harmony has a believer in common with an unbeliever? I know of a family in another city where the husband is a fervent Christian and the wife is not a Christian at all. Well, this occurred before they were married. After they were married, he became a Christian, but she didn't. Well, they both have character, so they're getting along. I mean, but it's the house divided against itself. They have so little in common. They're sharing the same building. It's about what it amounts to. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Guess what or who or where is the temple of God? You are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Of what kind of spirit? The Holy Spirit. So what do you think the Holy Spirit requires? Holiness. We are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's God's promise to his elect, not to the world, to his saints. Therefore, come out from their midst. Who's there? The unsaved. the unsaved. Well, you know, there's things, there's the underground Christian. I'll go and tell dirty jokes and be one of them and everything, and I won't let them know I'm a Christian. I'll work undercover. Come on, that doesn't work. The Bible says, let your light shine. It doesn't say be an undercover Christian. You don't win people by being like them. Do you know the parable of the Good Samaritan? He came and the guy was in a pit. Well, the Samaritan didn't jump down in the pit to be like him. He lifted him out. And most people don't want to be lifted out. So there's that about it. This is very important. This right here. Do not touch what is unclean. Well, what is unclean? Well, I'll tell you a couple of them. Now, I wrote much about this, and I think the main book, and this is all in the WR library, is called Perfecting Holiness. I think that's where most of these things are listed. There's about 161 of them. Some of them are, these are areas of darkness in it, and like Brother Smitter said, there are things that we have chosen to embrace or to be married to. We choose these things. Spirits of lying, stealing, lust, murder and hatred, fear. I pondered about why that's the first group in the lake of fire. We don't see, to be fearful is not unrighteous, but it is unholy. God cannot go with fear. It can result in unrighteous behavior, but it itself is a sign of unbelief in God. A spiteful spirit. See, that's unclean. Anything that is not found in God is unclean. And God is not spiteful. Thank you. You don't have to shout amen so much I can't hear myself. Just keep it. Self-seeking, and we see this so much among the politicians. God does not enjoy a person who is self-seeking. And it will work out in unrighteous behavior as you seek to take advantage of other people. Right? The bondage. Now, all right. So how do we get rid of this stuff? Well, we've gone over that and over it. Is you recognize it, you confess it, you denounce it, you renounce it, and you draw near to God, and after that you resist the devil. That's how. Now, all right, to come into the image of God requires two great dimensions, okay? To come into the image of God, which is our objective, is to be in God's image. The positive aspect is to have Christ formed in you. That's the positive aspect of coming into God's image. That happens through the new birth and then feeding on the body and blood of Christ. The negative dimension is being delivered from unclean, unholy spirits. And these two work together, as you can see. And it is the job of Christ to give us a positive personality. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to deliver us from that which is not holy. So they both have to work. Christ has to be being formed in us, and the Holy Spirit has to be leading us. If you, through the Spirit, to put to death the deeds of your body, you shall live. See, and they work. Well, now they work together with you this afternoon. What I'm telling you is not some great doctrine. I'm interpreting what is happening to you. God wants you to feed on his body and blood at all times. Just keep obeying Christ. And the Holy Spirit, meanwhile, who yearns over you with a godly jealousy, will point out to you things in your personality that are not found in God. And if you will confess them as such, denounce them as wicked, renounce them, saying you want nothing more to do with them. Draw near to God in full fellowship. Resist the devil. The Holy Spirit will take that out of you. And Christ will grow in its place. And in this fashion, you come into the image of God. Amen. Now, what is the purpose of holiness? First, to have fellowship with God. Secondly, to serve in the various kingdom tasks and roles, such as the wife of the Lamb, brothers of Christ, judge of men and angels, soldiers in the army of the Lord, and members of the body of Christ, and so on. That's, you cannot participate in these if you are not holy. The third reason for holiness is, it makes it possible for you to live righteously. Because if you are not delivered from these unclean spirits, of which I mentioned 161 in my book, Perfecting Holiness, which is on the internet, if you are not delivered from these, you cannot make much progress in righteousness. Because if you still got a lying spirit, you're going to lie. If you have a self-seeking spirit, you're not going to esteem others better than yourself. See, that's the third reason, is so that you can live righteously. First, so you can have fellowship with God. Second, so that you can perform the roles and tasks of the kingdom. Remember when I gave you those 18 roles and tasks and so on? They're also on the WR site. And thirdly, to enable you to live righteously. You might say, oh, I want to be righteous. Well, find out what it is that is driving you. See? Let's say you get angry all of a sudden. You just blow your top. Then after you think, oh, I did that again. It's such a poor testimony and everything. Then go to the Lord and get deliverance. Don't try to hoist yourself up and control yourself. There's a spirit in there. Like Paul says in Romans 7. It dwells in our flesh. The sins dwell in our flesh. And the Holy Spirit can put them to death. But you have to confess them. You have to let the spirit realm. I don't want anything to do with this. And I'm going to turn away from it. When you do, they're dead. And then you won't lose your temper. Isn't that neat? I should pass the offering, but I'm not going. I don't have time. Now, I wanted to mention some things that have come out lately in our culture that are unclean. Don't do them. And if you have control over your children, that is, they're still young enough that you can tell them what to do and what not to do, watch out for these things. First of all, is pornography. All that has nothing to do with righteousness. That is filthy. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ sitting next to you and you're on your computer and you're watching pornography? Can you imagine him rejoicing? You think Christ is going to say, oh, this is wonderful. I'm so glad now you have this opportunity to view the female body. How blessed you are. Or male body, which is even more warped. You say, why do I do this? 11 o'clock and on it comes and I can't help it. Oh, what do? You've got an evil spirit in your body. You realize that? Denounce it. Say, I can't. Lord, this is not of your kingdom. Reject it and ask God to deliver you. And then you won't do it anymore. You're watching pornography. You're a long way from Christ. You can get delivered if you want to. Dirty jokes. You tell dirty jokes. Tell one to Jesus. See how loud he laughs. Tell your dirty joke to Jesus. Say, Lord, have you heard this one? And see how he laughs. Body piercing. You know, there's a verse on that. Where is that little brother Spitter? Where is that one about the body? Oh, I've got one about the body that you'll love. Sheet 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. You're going to love this. Okay? How many are surviving? Well, at least one guy is. All right. Now, here we go. Flee immorality. What does flee mean? Oh, I couldn't do it. The devil made me do it. That's what people, oh, the devil made me do it. You've got uncooked spaghetti, or cooked spaghetti, I should say, for a backbone. That's what you got, cooked spaghetti. You've got the backbone of a wet noodle. Flee! Run! Put another lap on the jogathon. Flee. Poor Hannah was stiff this morning. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple, literally a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Did you know that? Whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. What was that price? The blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Well, you don't do that with piercings. And you don't do that with tattoos, of which I have one, but I didn't get it when I was a Christian. Alcohol, beer, wine, and liquor. Now, these things destroy brain cells. Did you know that? They destroy brain cells. Alcohol destroys brain cells. Furthermore, you cannot function with gifts and ministries of the body of Christ when you have alcohol in you, because it subverts your nervous system. You can't do it. Not only that, you're liable to drive drunk and kill somebody. Then it becomes an act of unrighteousness. And then you say, if I only listened to Brother Thompson, that dear old Brother Thompson told me, I didn't believe it. Smoking. Oh, I know smoking doesn't hurt you. That's why all the hospitals say no smoking allowed. It hurts you. Smoking hurt you. I saw read in the Reader's Digest about a guy had this whole part of his chin had to be cut away because of cancer, but his esophagus through which he breathed was showing. And in the hospital, he had a cigarette and he was holding it up to his esophagus. It is addictive, like beer and liquor. They are addictive. You don't think beer is addictive? I recommend highly that you go to an AA meeting. They're wonderful. I've been there. Okay? First thing you have to do, say, my name is Tom Smith. I'm an alcoholic. If you can't get it out of your mouth, then you got a problem. There's AA all over the United States. Why? Because people can't get off beer or liquor once they start. It's addictive. Addictive. It's addictive. Cigarettes are addictive. How many people try to, oh, I wish I could quit. Oh, if I could only quit. There's doctors that say, oh, if I could only quit. Because they know it's hurting them. You say, oh, I love the Lord. Well, then don't smoke. And don't chew tobacco. You know what causes cancer of the mouth? Cancer of the tongue. I can't think of anything more distressing than cancer of the tongue. Can you imagine your tongue with a cancer growing on it? That's what chewing tobacco causes. Pipe smoking causes cancer of the mouth and of the tongue. Pipe smoking. Well, I don't inhale. It doesn't matter. It's the heat in there that your body is rejecting. It says, I don't want that. Audrey's grandfather used to say, if God wanted you to smoke, you'd be born with a chimney. Perversions, any kind of sexual perversions, including homosexuality, they're not unrighteous. Two men want to get married and live together, that's not unrighteous. But it's condemned in the Old Testament and the New, and therefore it is not holy. It is not holy. Oh, hallelujah. I'm having a wonderful time up here. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. They came just before the other one. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. That's why the lung cancer, throat cancer, tongue cancer. It's this word. God says, you're defiling my temple. I will destroy you. That's what it says. God will destroy him. Is that strict enough? Throw your cigarettes out when you go home. The same is true of drugs. Drugs are mind-altering, and over a period of time, they have lasting effects. You cannot do drugs and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But I'm not hurting anybody. No, it's not a case of righteousness. It's a case of holiness. Holy. Your body is holy. Your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Ah, lovely. All right. Then we didn't read 2 Corinthians 7. Oh, we didn't read 2 Corinthians 6. Something down here. 17, I guess. Therefore, come out from their midst. There is the rest of the world. You see, well, I can't go anywhere. Well, you can go anywhere God leads you. But you're not free to just go anywhere. I would suggest before you go into any public assembly of any kind, any public assembly, whether it's a theater or race cars or whatever, that you ask God. Because those places, the races, for example, I read something about Daytona. I couldn't believe it. There are places of alcohol, swearing, sexual, terrible things accompany the race. You can ask God. If God says, yes, go there, then go there. Whatever he says, do it. But if you don't have some assurance to God and you go to the movies, remember, people are coughing and sniffling and people with flu and everything else in there, and you're exposing yourself, you better ask God if it's a good thing to go. How many think that's wise? Isn't that wise? You say, well, what's holy? Well, I'll tell you how to tell. You say, is this moving picture that I want to see holy? Well, then, if it's holy, Christ will go with you. But if there's things in there that he wouldn't like, it's not holy. Well, that's too hard for me. Well, you better decide whether you're going to be a disciple or what. Because disciples love holiness. They love it. It's addictive. They can't get enough of it. And the people who are not disciples hate it because it sounds like more things I can't do that I want to do. And I'll tell you something about God. He's going to give you the desire of your heart. And if you want the world, you're going to get it till you're ready to puke. Remember how he did with the Israelites? Oh, we want food. Okay, he gave them quail till they were nauseated. Go ahead, eat all you want. Yes, enjoy yourself. There's a thing about God that someone said, on his table, take what you want and pay later. Isn't that true? All right. Now, do not touch what is unclean. Keep away from it. And if you don't know whether it's clean or not, ask the Lord. He'll tell you. And I will welcome you. Well, what happens if you touch unclean things? He doesn't welcome you. I don't care about grace smace. He won't welcome you if you do what's wrong. And I will be a father to you. What happens if you touch unclean things? He won't be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? God will be our father. How many want God to be their father? Two people. I want God to be my father. I'll tell you, Pop, help me. That's how we all say it down south. Help me, Lord. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. Well, let somebody else cleanse us. Our circumstances. I'll tell you a good prayer to pray today. Say, Lord, I'm not able to cleanse myself, so I'd like for you to cleanse me. Yeah, pray that today. That's a good prayer for today. And then we'll put you on the prayer list. Because he'll help you. Oh, boy, will he ever. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh. But I read some of the things to you about the flesh. The pornography, dirty jokes, body piercing, tattoos, alcohol, beer, wine, liquor, smoking, chewing tobacco, perversions, and homosexuality. And now as far as the spirit, Lisa mentioned those, and I mentioned some about lying and stealing and hatred and self-seeking and so on. So there's filthiness of the flesh, and there's filthiness of the spirit, and it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all of this. Well, how do we do it? Well, good old Romans 8:13. I suppose everybody has that memorized. Do you have that? Does everybody have that memorized? I expect Hannah's got that memorized by now. Romans 8:13. What does it say? If you, by yourself, oh, by the Spirit, you can't do it yourself. That's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. It's so you can be holy. He already gave you a Holy Spirit. Put to death, mortify. You don't wrestle with it and say, oh, I wish I could quit smoking. Oh, I wish I could quit swearing. Well, you'll be doing that till you're in a convalescent home. You have to put it to death. So I don't want this anymore. This is rotten. It belongs in the lake of fire. Tell your wife about it. Say it loud enough that the neighbors can hear it. It belongs in the lake of fire. And the spirit realm will get the message. He must be serious. Like getting the dog off the couch, as long as you say, oh, little Pootsie, please get off the couch. You're not going to get off the couch. Let us cleanse ourselves from all perfecting holiness. See, that's where I got the title for my book, Perfecting Holiness. You don't start off with it all perfected. If you put to death the deeds of the body, what will happen? You'll live. You'll live. Eternal life follows holiness. Let's go back there to Romans 6:23 so I can tell you how this is, how this should be interpreted. Romans 6:23. Now look, it's dependent on verse 22. For the wages of sin is death. It's talking to Christians saying, if you don't make yourself a servant of God, you won't have holiness, and therefore the eternal life will go. That's the meaning of Romans 6:23. See? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God that comes to us on the basis of holiness is life. So holiness brings life. Now, I have a bunch of other stuff that I'm going to be going into tonight, possibly. But I just want to make it very simple. We've heard a lot about righteousness, and we all agree with it. But we're not sure about holiness. Holiness has to do with areas of darkness in your life. And you can always test it by saying, is this attitude that I have, are these choices that I'm making in the image of God? And if they're not, then what are you doing? You're supposed to be being made in God's image. Then what do? Confess. Denounce. Renounce. Draw near to God for fellowship, and in the future resist the devil, you will put them to death by doing this. It's a process until finally you're perfectly holy and in the image of God. Do you think that's possible? How many think it's possible? Do you feel it's possible? See, when you see the Word of God, you've got to believe it, or it won't work. You've got to say, oh, yes, God can do that with me. I'm really rotten, but He can do it. He can do it. In the name of Jesus, shall we stand? Let's take dominion over this spirit of unbelief that fills the Christian churches in the realm of sin, saying we're beat while we're in the world. When we get to heaven, we won't be beat. When you get to heaven, you'll be the same as you are here. There's no difference. There's no difference. Nowhere in the Bible does it say heaven is the source of our victory. Christ is our victory. Now, Father, we come unto you in the name of Jesus, and you see how Satan has a stranglehold on the church. And this whole doctrines of grace and Christians can't be perfect and blah, blah, blah against your word. And you talk about perfecting holiness. You talk about being made in your image. You talk about being filled with your life. You talk about being in the image of Christ. Father, we claim it in the name of Jesus, and we reject and renounce the unbelief. We reject it. And we renounce it. And we say it belongs in the hell. It belongs in the lake of fire. Fear belongs in the lake of fire. And unbelief in our God. Yes, you are able through the Lord Jesus Christ to perfect us, body, soul, and spirit, as Paul prayed. You are able to do this, Lord. We cannot do it. But you can do it. And you will do it if we will be faithful to believe and to follow you and be obedient each day to what you've set before us. Now, Lord, let's put an end to this foolishness. This church is ready to go forward in you. And we go forward in holiness as well as righteousness. Holiness unto the Lord our God.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Holiness unto the
yes.
Lord our God.
Yes.
Yes. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God, you have called us to be holy.
Yes.
And we respond and we say, yes, make us holy. Help us to cleanse ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
We don't want to come short in one minuscule area. We don't want any demons. We don't want any little foxes that spoil the vine. We want to go all the way. So, Lord, do it. And we praise you. Let's praise him for doing it. Let's give him glory. We give you glory, Lord Jesus. We give you glory, Lord. You can do it. You will do it. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, soul, and body. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, you are. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love, and tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. How about help me out here? We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love, and tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Hallelujah. Now, if anybody wants to, you can come to the altar. If you want prayer, lift your hand up. If you've got something that came to your mind when I was preaching, get rid of it now. Don't walk out with it in your heart. Don't do it. Come up to the altar. Does anybody need to come up to the altar? I hit something that is troubling you. Come up and take care of it while the waters are troubled. Anybody? Okay. Lord bless. Lord bless you and keep you safe on the highway.